Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. People who are new to the RV lifestyle and to work camping in general are going to enjoy this episode. We're going to be talking with two experienced work campers about a variety of issues, not just the jobs they've had, but how they manage their lives on the road. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. Mike and Yvonne Hall have been full-time RVing and work camping for 18 years. They did it seasonally for 14 years and have been full-timing since Mike retired 4 years ago. They live in a fifth wheel for many years and loved it. However, they just acquired a motorhome and love it too. They'll explain the advantages of both and why they opted for a 40-foot motorhome at this point in their adventures. They've had plenty of experience working as campground hosts, which is a popular work camping job. They'll offer tips on finding a job and sticking it out even when it doesn't pan out as they envisioned. We'll also get into the technical aspects of work camping, such as selecting a domicile state, setting up a mail forwarding service, and managing banking from the road. They even share advice on how to maintain a happy, healthy marriage even when everyone's cooped up in 400 square feet of space. It's going to be a great interview. Mike and Yvonne share what attracted them to work camping to the first place and what fuels their interest to keep looking for a new assignment every season. So please welcome Mike and Yvonne Hall to the show. Thanks for joining us today, guys. I really appreciate you taking time from your day to talk to us about your experience as an RVer and work camper. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and where you are right now.
My name is Mike Hall. My wife is Yvonne. We are in Squim, Washington. It's spelled S-E-Q-U-I-M. It's out on the Olympic Peninsula, just north of the Olympic Forest. And we are currently at a 28-site RV campground. They call it an RV park.
Very good. And how long have you been there?
We've been here since last May.
We were also
here 2.5 years ago in the winter season.
Mm-hmm. And you were telling me before we started the interview, there's something uniquely special about that particular area in that Washington gets a lot of rain, but you guys typically don't.
That's correct. We get mist or drizzle. We get some rains, but I don't think there's a day that goes by that we don't also see the sunshine.
Okay, that's great. How long have you been RVing?
We've been RVing total a little over 18 years. We did 14 years seasonally until Mike retired from his full-time job. Then we sold everything back home in Michigan and hit the road as full-timers, and we've been full-timing for a little over 4 years now.
4 years, that's great. What kind of rig do you use?
We started out our full-timing adventure in a fifth wheel, and just a little over a year ago, we changed. I can't say we upgraded. We just, our viewpoints changed a bit, and we changed and picked up a motorhome, so we now have a 40-foot coach.
40-foot. That's a big RV. That should give you plenty of space to spread out.
It's just about like a small apartment, I think.
Mm-hmm. And which ones do you like better? Is there a difference between traveling in a fifth wheel or in a motorhome since you've done both?
Well, we started off with a fifth wheel. We started off with a travel trailer. And then about a year before I retired, we upgraded to the fifth wheel. And a big truck, a big diesel with dually tires and everything that Yvonne didn't drive. Just too big to get around town and do your little running around in and stuff. So eventually we bought her a car and that we use when we're traveling. The fifth wheel afforded us a great opportunity. Has lots of storage in it, lots of room to do stuff in. But while we're traveling, me driving the truck and towing the fifth wheel and her driving the little car to get around town and stuff didn't meet our desire to, quote unquote, travel together. So we decided to sell the truck and the fifth wheel, and that's the only reason why, was that she could sit next to me in the queen's chair while I'm driving it on the road.
Oh, that's neat. Very cool. And have you been work camping as the entire time you've been out RVing?
No, we started work camping after I retired. We picked up a job down in Arkansas. It was our first campground down there. We were campground hosts. And the big thing that we did was to want to travel around the country and see our country. And while doing that, then we decided we would stop and do some work camping here and there.
Okay. Very good.
So basically, we did about six seasons, either the summer, you know, and then right into the winter, calling each one a season. We did about six seasonal stints, and then we took off for a season and just did some traveling and visiting with friends and family throughout the whole country. And then now we're back into the work camping and we're going to be doing two seasons in a row right here at this park.
Okay. Neat. And what kind of things do you do at the current job you have?
I personally work in the office. So all of the office responsibilities, answering the phone, scheduling the interviews, answering the phone, scheduling the reservations on campground master, which is the program. And then I greet the guests when they come in, take care of all the monies, all of the just busyness of the office.
What does Mike do?
My responsibilities include guiding the vehicles into their specific site that Yvonne assigns to them when they get here. Cleaning the facilities, including the bathroom, the clubhouse, the laundry, maintaining the sites when campers aren't here. There's a small patch of grass in between each of the sites, and we cut that and pull weeds and water the lawns and trim the shrubs and the flowers and just generally the whole site upkeep.
Very good. You know, I appreciate it when I go into campgrounds and there are people who are there who actually escort you to your campsite. Some campgrounds just hand you a map with your site number circled on it and leave it up to you to navigate to that site. But when you're escorting people out there, I really appreciate that. So I want you to know that I appreciate that kind of effort.
This is a very small RV park, but the owners are quite adamant that they want their guests to be treated really great, which is really a high priority on our list as well. And, you know, from the time they come in, which is checking in and then getting them to their site until they leave, they're the number one. And we appreciate the fact that we can be helping the guests even just to get into their sites.
That's an important job because you're the first people that they're going to encounter at that campground. So it's up to you guys as the check-in people and the escorts to the site to actually make people feel welcome and give them a good, positive introduction to the campground. So that's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What other kinds of work camping jobs have you done? Have they all been at campgrounds?
Not all of them. We have been campground hosts at different kinds of parks. One time we were down in Arizona at a 55-plus community that had over 1,800 sites in it. Yvonne did a hairstylist or a hair salon where she was a receptionist. She scheduled the reservations and swept up hair and did washed up the towels that the gals used and stuff.
And socialed.
And socialized. That's always a big part of her job. Sure. I was on a tables and chairs group that set up and took down tables and chairs all around the facility for different functions that they had. So every day we were setting up tables and taking them down and putting them up someplace else.
Mm-hmm. We also worked at a youth camp, Christian youth camp, one summer. And we did a lot of just support for when all the groups came in. They came in 1 week at a time. So each week we had a new group of kids. But we served meals, 3 meals a day. We took care of the putt-putt golf, so gave up the golf clubs and balls and made sure nobody was clobbering somebody else over the head with the balls. They had a zip line there, so we'd help harness them up. We worked a little sundry store, so we were like cashiers at the store. Just a fun time. The kids were always excited to be there, which just gave us the excitement to serve them.
Sure. What do you guys like most about the RV lifestyle now that you've been doing it for a couple of years?
Personally, I like being able to just, on a whim, not necessarily on a whim, but with a little bit of pre-planning, just decide, let's do this next. We have the freedom and the ability to just be fluid in our choices and what we do. Of course, if we're work camping, you know, we have that commitment until the end of that season. But if you decide that, oh, next season, let's just play tourist, we have that opportunity as well.
Okay. Very good. What about you, Mike? Is there something in particular that stands out?
I do like the opportunity to go where we want to go and then secondarily work camp. Our primary function in our retired life is to travel around and see the country. And while doing that, then we'll do some work camping. So we use that kind of as a guideline as to how to search out our next position. Where do we want to go? And then we look for campgrounds or functions that are there to be able to work at.
Mm-hmm. What did you do before you retired?
I worked for the electric utility in Southeast Michigan.
Okay. Very good. Did you work, Yvonne?
I worked a lot of my adult years, but the last 15 years prior to Mike retiring, I was a domestic goddess, so I was allowed the freedoms to just pick and choose what I wanted to do, and I worked some of that time, but a lot of it was community work through our church, doing things for the community.
Sure. Once you made that decision to start RVing and you're doing it full time, how long did it take you to process into that lifestyle? I mean, were you able to do it in a year or less?
We had the notion before we ever got married 18 years ago that when we're seniors and retired from our jobs, we wanted to live full time in an RV. So we had with that planning in the back of our head, it was a gradual planning. The actual transition was still in the planning. We bought the RV, we bought the retirement rig prior to retirement. But once he retired, it was nothing more than, okay, let's just sell the house, pack everything down, and make the swap. And that was maybe a 4-month transition.
Okay, that's pretty quick. Yeah, were you members of Work Camper at that time?
That was one of the first things we did when I did retire, was we found Work Camper News, and we drove down to Heber Springs, Arkansas, and attended one of their rendezvous where we picked up a lot of information, met a lot of new people, and got a lot of information on how to seek out jobs and do things like that. And then the next year we went to another rendezvous where we learned some additional information. So I encourage people who are interested in this lifestyle to go to a rendezvous or two and get those contacts and get the information on how do I find a job and things like that. How do I write a resume that a campground host or a campground owner would be interested in hiring me as a host or whatever the position is. There is such a wide variety of the types of jobs that are out there for people.
I would agree. The rendezvous is a great resource for meeting other work campers and other dreamers as well, but also for Absolutely. Finding information to really launch you quickly and the right way so that your learning curve is greatly reduced and you don't make some of the silly mistakes that people like I made when I hit the road full-time many years ago.
That's one of the things that I kind of would really instill in anyone if they're looking at full timing or thinking they might want to be a full time RVer or doing work camping, to do your homework, ask your questions, get involved in groups, do the rendezvous, put yourself out there and really learn, because there's a good sized learning curve to doing all this. The more knowledge you have at the onset, the more smooth the transition, and the more you're probably going to enjoy the lifestyle.
I'd agree with that. So when you've been working at all these campgrounds and all the other jobs, how have the experiences differed from one job to another?
Oh my goodness. Well, the experiences of work camping have differed based somewhat on what types of jobs we were doing. So if it was just a park host, you're kind of, you know, people pretty much understand that. But some of the other jobs, you know, as you go into them, you're not quite sure what you're getting yourself into. Some of it's a surprise and some of it's like, oh, I don't know that I signed up for this. But when you know that even if there's things you weren't too sure about, you're only doing it for a season. Your commitments are usually 4 to 6 months. And who can't do something for 4 to 6 months, even if it's not your most favorite thing to do?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's important that work campers, when they're accepting jobs, stick it out and not quit early, because everybody is depending upon them. Are there any tips that you can provide for people to stick out a job that might not be turning out the way that it had planned?
Like Yvonne said, a lot of it is simply your attitude and just convincing yourself and saying that, you know, I can do this for a couple of months, you know, unless it's just something that's physically abusive or, you know, something of that nature. If it's just you're not getting along with the people or whatever the problem might be, just stick it out and last out the season and talk to the owners and let them know that you're having struggles and they might be able to adjust something for you. A lot of it's just communicating and talking with people and working out issues.
Mm-hmm. Communication is very important. And many times some of the problems that people have when they're out work camping can be addressed by simply sitting down and talking with the managers and trying to work out a solution. I mean, it just might be that, you know, you can't be bending over as much as you are or whatever the case might be. And there are other jobs that you could use that wouldn't be as strenuous. So yeah, just be open, honest, and communicate quickly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And is there something that you could offer or suggest to work campers that they should consider when looking for campground jobs?
I would suggest having in mind what type of work camping job you would like to do before you start the carousing of what's available. If you have no intentions of cleaning toilets in the bathroom every day and cutting lawn, then you might not want to choose being a host at an RV park. Mm-hmm. There are jobs out there that fit a lot of a huge variety of interests. Find what fits you best.
There are a whole bunch of jobs, and not only in campgrounds, but in other retail stores and tourist attractions and amusement parks and things like that. Plenty of things for people to do. So yeah, absolutely. And how often do you, or how far in advance do you look for your jobs?
About 6 months. That seems to be, works well for us. It's far enough out into the future that we can arrange our plans for our travel. That's about the time that most campground owners are looking for resumes to fill in their next season. So at the beginning of the winter season, I start looking for where do we want to be next summer.
Okay, very good. And you said you're going to be staying here at Squim for this season and the next one?
Through the middle of May, we're going to be here.
Over the winter.
We started this past May, which was the beginning of their summer season. So we've actually already just finishing up the summer season. October 1st, which is tomorrow, starting the fall winter season. So we're just transitioning from one to the next, and then their winter season finishes at the beginning of May.
What are some of the perks that you get typically as a work camper when you've got these jobs?
Well, there's a different ways of being compensated for your job. One of the favorite ones that I have is that we will work in exchange for the price of our site and electricity. Sometimes if they sell propane on site, they'll give you a bottle of propane once a month. So I like the ability to barter with the campground owners on here's what I need. I don't want additional pay, for example. I have a great retirement, and we both are drawing Social Security. So income-wise, we're doing okay. Others who don't have that set source of income might want to work for their site plus some money income. Typically, that'll be at a minimum wage rate for the area, but there's just a wide variety of types of compensation for your job.
Mm-hmm. And when you're being scheduled to do your work, are you typically working the same days every week or a couple of days in a row, then a couple of days off? How does that normally work?
We typically have worked the same days of each week when we've had our various jobs in the past 4 years. Sometimes it's the same hours each day. There are some jobs that were, we did different hours based on what we were doing. For instance, when we hosted at a different campground for a couple of summers, there was office work that was, they needed someone to do the office and store in the evening. So we would do part of our hours in the morning cleaning together. Mike and I were actually a cleaning team. And then in the evening, I would go back and work in the office as well. And Mike would probably do other things.
Grounds related stuff.
Grounds related. So we've been very fortunate in being able to work together. Definitely same days. That way we have the same days off each time. So we can go enjoy different things in the area, and then right down to the just about same times of the day, so we can even eat meals together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the place that we're at right now has a very unique schedule in that we work 2 days, and then we'll have 2 days off, and then work 3 days, and have another 2 days off, work two more days, and then have 10 days off in a row, consecutively, one whole 10-day period. So that gives us plenty of opportunity to travel around and see the sites and see the area, even fly home if we needed to. But that this is the only place I've ever seen with this kind of a schedule, but I really, really like it.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to do up in that area. You said it was Squim, Washington, and so that's the Olympic Peninsula. So you're just a short drive and a ferry to downtown Seattle, and then just that whole Olympic Islands and things like that. The Puget Sound area is just spectacular. So I'm glad you get a lot of time to visit and tour the area.
We're seniors and we're old. That's a joke. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice to not have a bunch of days in a row with lots of hours to have to work. It doesn't seem like we're really working, because by the time we start a schedule, we either have a short couple days off or we're ready for our 10-day off. And it seems like we're always off, but we are working as well.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a personal question. You know, a lot of people think about RVing as married couples and having everybody cooped up in 400 square feet of space all day and all night. How do you guys manage that and maintain a strong marriage?
I'm going to Walmart. No, actually 400 feet of space is not, it's not small. It's not huge. I mean, it's not like a big, you know, 1,200 foot, 1,500 square foot home, but it has enough space in here that you could entertain guests indoors. But you set your yard up so you always have the ability to go do something outdoors. Even if it's reading your book outside, you don't have to be elbow to elbow 24/7.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's got to help. What about you, Mike? Is there any advice you can give to people, married couples, or even just couples who are out traveling together, how to maintain that relationship?
We each have our own hobbies that we can do individually. Yvonne's into a lot of different kinds of crafting and sewing and things like that. I do some things outside. I have a drone that I go out and fly and play with. Work on the outside of the RV and to maintain it. And we have our times that we like to spend together, and then we have other things that we do separately. So,
mm-hmm. You'd mentioned sewing. Now, I know a lot of women who do sewing, and their sewing rooms might as well be a 1,500 square foot house with all the stuff they have in there. So how do you manage having a sewing hobby when you're on the road?
Oh, let me tell you, it was when we had the fifth wheel, it was really neat because we pulled two chairs out of the living room area that afforded me the opportunity to put it as my sewing area. So I had a very dedicated space. I had my sewing table set up with my sewing machine. I had storage on each side and underneath. I claimed the cupboards right up above for storage. So I had a very dedicated area that this is my area. You don't need to come. There was nothing there for him to come and get because it was all sewing stuff. It's a little bit different now in the motorhome because I don't have that dedicated space. So I just maneuver around. You have to be organized. I think organization is really key in having crafts going in a small space.
Are these crafts?
And you have to have a spouse that is very tolerant and very understanding.
Oh, that's nice. Are these crafts that you make to give away as gifts or just keep for yourself, or do you sell them?
Oh, I have been told that I should do and sell, which some people do. They make little crafts for 10 months out of the year, and then when it comes close to Christmas time, they sign up for these little bazaars and sell their crafts that they've made all year. Personally, I make things and give them away. Occasionally, I will keep what I make, but I just tend to be more of a giver, so I'll make something and say, oh, who would like this? Or I decide, oh, so-and-so would like something. And then I make something very specific for that so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
But I enjoy crafting, and I wasn't going to give that up just because we're living in a smaller home, and I make it work because I have that interest.
Sure. That sounds good. Let me ask some logistical questions. What state do you consider to be your domicile, and why did you pick it?
Our domicile right now is South Dakota. I chose that primarily because of the costs involved in living there. Like I said before, we lived in Michigan, and Michigan was going to charge my retirement pay, as they did my regular wages while I worked there, 6.5% of state tax. South Dakota doesn't have a state tax. There's three primary states that most full-timers use or choose from for their domicile. South Dakota is one of them, Texas, and Florida. Those are pretty nice to retirement people as far as the different costs are concerned. I chose South Dakota mainly because there's no taxes on the retirement. The costs of licensing the vehicles and the insurance for the vehicles is relatively low. So South Dakota is it for now, and I intend to keep that.
Okay. How do you manage mail and banking while you're on the road?
We have a mail forwarding service in South Dakota.
Which one?
I knew he was going to ask me that. Dakota Post.
Dakota Post, okay.
They are in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They forward my mail to me right here at Squim at the campground. When I get ready to leave, I'll call them and tell them, hold the mail. When I know where I'm going to be, I'll call them and say, start sending it again. And I have it set up right now where they send it to me once a week with whatever. So if you send something to me, I would give you my South Dakota address, although I never lived there. But we're there long enough to set up get our licenses and set up our mail forwarding service. They have different packages where you can choose from. At what frequency do you want to receive your mail, whether it's weekly or monthly, or they have an electronic thing where you can go on and they will scan it for you. And you can go in and look at your email, look at the mail through your email program, and then tell them, throw this away, throw that away, send this one to us. So you can choose it. It's pretty versatile system. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm. It sounds great.
As far as our banking, when we were in South Dakota, we joined a federal credit union, and we use the debit card and checking account from the federal credit union, and all my pay is all direct deposited into that, and then I maintain my checking account on the computer, and it's been very handy for us just to be able to use the debit card when we go to the store or order something over the internet, or check if we have friends that we're with, I can give them a check.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any issues at all with how to handle that banking.
That's great news. One final question for each of you. What's your favorite experience that you've enjoyed on the road?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say my favorite experience is meeting like-minded people from all over the country and maybe running into them again down the road, expectations or not. It becomes your little family, the RV community. Even though we're scattered throughout the whole 50 states, we're kind of like, it's kind of like you're always home.
Very good. What about you, Mike?
I liked different parts of going around and seeing the country. We got a chance to go see the Grand Canyon up here in the Northwest. We've done a lot of stuff, and we've gone up to Hurricane Ridge, which is a big mountain up there that I talked about before. Just traveling around and seeing the sights and meeting different people.
Very good. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today about your experience as an RVers and work campers. I wish you the best of luck in the future and hope you get some really good jobs that help you make some really great memories.
Okay. And we thank you for the opportunity to giving us this opportunity to share our experiences.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it.
Eighteen years is a very long time to be RVing, and after 4 years of full-timing, I would say Mike and Yvonne Hall are outright experts of the lifestyle and in work camping to support that dream. I liked how they're planning their next assignment at least 6 months, if not a year in advance. That ensures they get the jobs they really want. I also appreciated their advice on working with managers and other work campers to resolve situations early before they fester and ruin the work camping experience for everyone. Most couples get into work camping to explore the country and to enjoy retirement together. Still, living in 400 square feet of space can present its challenges. I appreciate Mike and Yvonne opening up about how they manage to keep their spark in their marriage. They've landed an envious position up in Squim, Washington at a small campground where they can enjoy 10 days off every month in a row. Very few work camping jobs offer that type of perk. But each assignment is different. Like Mike said, it is possible to negotiate with employers regarding schedules, jobs performed, and other perks, like free or discounted propane. Just be sure to honor your commitments. This was a great interview that touched on all the basics of work camping, yet both Yvonne and Mike stressed the need to educate yourselves on every aspect of work camping and the RV lifestyle. They highly recommended the Work Camper Rendezvous event every October in Heber Springs, Arkansas. In the months ahead, we'll be featuring a number of interviews recorded at this year's Work Camper Rendezvous. Whether it's running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and to get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. This episode was sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's episode. Next week, we'll interview an employer at one of the hottest work camping destinations in America. Christine from Delaware North will talk about opportunities to work at Yellowstone National Park next summer. That's an adventure you'll never forget. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time on The Work Camper Show.